T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good over here, Andy Bunker, on this Tuesday as we get closer to opening day. I'm so excited about that. You know, with the women's tournament, really good last night. I think West Virginia got job, but you know what?
I think they did.
They got job last night and everything like that. The weather is the
weather.
I get
it. Superstar players get superstar calls.
That was awful.
Boy,
that was awful.
That was pretty egregious last night in the Iowa game.
Obviously, the NFL's bringing down all these new rules and everything. I saw Joe Patrick put out the video what the new kickoff is going to look like and everything. Very, very interesting, but that's to say the least. And I'm telling you, Andy, after the first quarter, sitting there watching the Hawks game, first quarter, I was like, man, bump this. Yep. I was like, oh, I was on. Let me go see Caitlin Clark. Get the halftime of the Iowa game. Let me click back to the Hawks. Ah, they're getting the hell beat out of them like I thought they would. But then you look in the fourth quarter, like, hey, they made a nice little run. Cut it under 20. They might lose by less than 20. They might lose by 20.
Yeah, like there was little things that were kind of keeping you in it.
Yeah.
I didn't really think that they were ever going to actually come back and win the game, but it's like that. Look at Krejci out there scoring some points. I didn't see that coming.
Right.
Oh, DeAndre Hunter's having another nice night. That's cool. It's good to see him playing like that.
Yeah.
And then they kept whittling down. And Boston wasn't doing – I mean, they just quit on that basketball game. Like, they weren't boxing out. They weren't hustling. They weren't doing anything. They couldn't make a three. And this is something you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago.
16 in a row.
When you talk about Boston and their, you know, their big picture goals this year, which are championships, that is a team that is incredibly reliant on the three-point basket. And when it dries up like it did last night, the Hawks literally outscored them by 30 in the second half at the three-point line.
Yes.
When that happens, and it can happen on a random night against the Hawks. It can happen in game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. When that happens, that team can lose to anyone.
Yep.
And you saw it last night. The Hawks came back down 30. Credit to them for not giving up. It would have been very easy on the night last night to just pack it in and not keep playing. And they did keep playing, and they came away with the most exciting win of the year for the Hawks team, which is fantastic to see.
152-0 teams were in the NBA this year when leading by 30.
I would imagine,
yeah.
I didn't know the exact number, but that sounds right.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
Yeah, and for them to go back, and like you said, the resilience, it was a lot of fun down the stretch and everything.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, it was just one of those things where, I mean, Boston should be ashamed of themselves.
They should.
Boston Celtics should be ashamed of themselves the way they tricked that game off last night. But I'm all giving praise nothing but the Hawks. I mean, they battled. And it's something we talk about, you know, talking about this organization, this team. I keep saying it every time. Take the good with the bad. Did the good with the bad, and last night was outstanding. The best win of the year, in my opinion, you know, and you got so many different contributions from different players. You're talking about Krejci and you know, Clint Capela with a big rebound. Like, DeAndre didn't have to shoot the ball. But I'm glad he did.
Right.
It was wet.
Right. I'm always, you know.
It was wet.
Everyone wants to be a big basketball IQ guy when something like that happens.
Right.
I don't know. He was wide open.
He was hot.
They're up one, right? So I guess if he holds it, the shot clock is off. He gets fouled. He makes some free throws. DeAndre Hunter, it's been an okay free throw shooter this year. I don't know. Maybe DeAndre felt better about his three-point shot than his free throws last night. But when it I don't know. Maybe my basketball IQ is too low. But when it went up, I wasn't thinking to myself, no, don't shoot it. I was thinking, oh, he's wide open.
Right.
And if he makes that shot, they go up four and the game's over. And that's exactly what happened. So I don't know. I didn't have a problem with him doing that. Probably because it went in. If it didn't go in, maybe we'd have a different conversation.
Right.
But a nice performance by him. Bruno Fernando has been really energetic and helpful off the bench with the limited play that they have at the center position right now, with Okongwu just kind of continuing to be injured. And look, Capella's injured too. He's out there gutting it out. So a really awesome, impressive, you know, probably the number one win of the year, like you say, which is all great. And I don't feel like it needs to be made into much more than that. Like, it was a really nice win last night. I don't know that it springboards you towards this, that, or the other thing. I think one thing it definitely says is, as frustrating as this season has been, this team hasn't quit on it.
Right.
They believe in what Quinn Snyder is preaching. Even with all the injuries that they're dealing with, and hopefully we'll get some news on Trey and that reevaluation soon. As frustrating as it's been, they're still bought into it, which is good.
Yeah, like, they're battling.
It's kind of a bare minimum expectation for a professional basketball team, but also you know that some teams have quit at times in the past, and they clearly haven't, down 30 in the position they're in the season, which is good. That's all positive stuff.
I think it shows a lot about your character.
Yeah, I think it does.
Your athletic character by, you know, just going out there and being a professional, knowing this is your damn job. And the thing about it is it's – you know, being on certain teams, and I joke about this a lot of times, being 1-15, you couldn't wait for the season to be over, but you didn't want it to be over because you know your season was over. You know what I mean? And then you had to wait a whole nother year because everything that you do outside of basketball is preparing you for the season. And so for you to continuously go out there and, like you said, fight and battle and do all those different things, it was good because it looked like it was going to be one of those same old, they're going to get the crap beat out of them. It's going to be, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to be sitting out the fourth quarter and everything like that. And the Hawks just didn't get my opportunity to. And like I said, that run towards the end, when they cut it to 18 right before at the half, you kind of feel like, well, maybe, you know, you didn't really think it was going to happen, but maybe there's an opportunity for them to do it. And like you said, the thing with Boston is they live and die by the three.
They do.
And they live and die in a situation like that with the two players, rightfully so. They're both the max players who take turns trying to take over. You saw Jason Tatum, the one play he made, came down, dunked it, then he didn't have nothing. And then so Jaylen takes the ball. Jaylen makes a nice little mid-range and comes down and takes a wild three-pointer. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be the thing with Boston. That's why people, myself included, don't believe in them. I don't think they can win the title because of those type things. They got two uber-talented. Jason Tatum's a top five player probably in this league. He's just that special of a player. But, yeah, I mean, the way they rely on that three ball.
Yeah, that part of it. And then I just think, I don't know, I just think there's something about getting up by 30 in a situation like that where you know you have a couple days off in a city before you have to play there again. And you go on little mini vacation before the game's over. There's just something wrong with that. You're talking about your athletic character. There's just something that's not a good building block for a team when you're trying to do what this team's trying to do. Now, granted, they had won 9 in a row.
Yeah.
They're going to be the number one seed in the East without question.
Jason said you can't win them all, but still, that's different.
You can't win them all, but when you're up 30 teams are 150, exactly. What did you say, 152-0 in the NBA this year?
Yeah, come on, man.
You can't win them all, but you should have won that one.
Yeah.
and again, I feel like it's a thin criticism to say a team's not going to win an NBA championship because only one team is. I think this team's going to make it to the NBA championship. I just don't think they're as good as Denver is. And I don't think they're as good as Denver is for a couple of different reasons. Some of them what we just talked about. Some of them being that Denver is just better. Like, Denver's just really, really good. I think they're just built for it right now. So I know that that's going to be, you know, if championship or bust and if it, you know, if is it a choke job if they don't? No, I don't think it is.
Right.
I think it's disappointing, of course, because that's what they're trying to do, and they retooled this offseason to try to get there. And Jaylen Brown, of course, got the contract he deserved, and they made the right choice to keep that group together. Jason Tatum's going to get even more this offseason because of the fact that it's a year later, and that's the way that the salary cap works in the NBA. and they should keep it together. Mm. They should keep going because they're one of the best teams in the NBA.
They are.
But they're flawed. They have flaws. And you saw some of those show up last night when they took the foot off the gas and the Hawks took advantage of it. And they did. The credit to the Hawks, man. It was a hell of a thing last night. I wasn't there. I would have loved to have been there. You could see the atmosphere coming through the television. It was loud as hell in there.
You saw a dude with a pink sweater just falling and rolling all on the floor.
Boosie was just he couldn't control himself.
Dude.
He lost all faculties last night rolling on the ground. It's a good thing that floor is clean.
Yes.
Because that, I mean, that, I'm sure that's not a cheap sweater.
Oh, I would think not.
Yeah.
That's cashmere.
Some kind of, it might even be some sort of like thread I've never heard of.
Yeah, some kind of schmear.
Some kind of schmear sweater. Rolling around on the ground last night. Yeah. They had Boosie falling down.
Yeah, some kind of schmear. But, dog, it was, I mean, just watching that debacle. I'm just gonna call it debacle. The Hawks went out there and took that away from them. But I mean, when people say we took our foot off the gas, it's always baffling to me when you take your foot off the gas when you got a big ass lead.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yep, 30. Like you can play average and still win the game by
15. Yeah, it's more than just foot
off the
gas.
It's more than just that.
It's you quit. You thought the game was over and you stopped playing. And it's really hard when you do that to then have to be like, oh damn, this game's not over at all.
Especially when this team is how the Hawks were, they were surging.
Yeah, they were. They had all the momentum in the game.
Yeah, they were surging.
Which, again, I know that the debate about momentum. Watch the game last night. There's very clearly momentum in sports.
Yes.
Like that happened. It happened last night. And you talked about it right before halftime. The Hawks just got a little bit going and a little bit of belief. And they went into that, they went into the locker room and came back out, guns blazing in the third quarter. And I scored Boston by 12 points and went into the fourth quarter in that game. It's crazy. It's a crazy performance. Now, Boston sits on it for a couple days, and they play the Hawks again in Atlanta on Thursday.
Bring it.
Have to imagine they're going to be pretty motivated for that one.
You know, it's safe to say
Let's enjoy the Blazers on Wednesday night, maybe take advantage of – they might start five rookies they did. They started five rookies for the first time it's happened in maybe ever. I don't know. A long time in the NBA last week. Five rookies. The Blazers are awful. They're a terrible basketball team.
That's right. Chauncey's still out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of sucks. He went there with, we're coaching Dame.
Oh, we're coaching Dame.
Yeah, we're coaching Dame. Players coach. We're going to do this.
Right.
Dame wants to leave. Now I'm coaching.
I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave because you coach.
Who am I coaching? I got Scoot Henderson. All right.
All right.
Well, that maybe could be good. Not yet. But anyway, they're in town tomorrow night. Hawks with a nice win last night. By the way, they're one game out of the 9 seed. As well.
Yeah.
So moving up.
Yeah, I saw, speaking of Portland, I didn't know Houston was climbing the way they are.
Houston is on fire.
I didn't realize that.
They're going to catch the Warriors. Warriors aren't going to make the play-in, probably. Dude. It's pretty crazy. Jalen Green, man, he's having a hell of a month.
He is,
going to become a dad.
Multiple
his team's going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Good times for Jalen.
Living his best life.
All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's trending here on a Tuesday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Two-point jumper. It's no good. Rebound, Clint Capella. Clint gets it back out to DeAndre Hunter. A three is good, and the Hawks take a four-point lead. And it's almost good night time to those Boston Celtics.
I know. I was with you.
Where's the bang?
I just figured there was a bang coming. That was a bang-worthy
three right there, man. But
I would have thought. It was a mad scramble, though.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think Steve was fired up that Capella even got the offensive board.
It was a great offensive board.
It was a really good offensive rebound.
It was great because three Celtics were there, and he just happened to tip it up.
Yep.
And it was up. And DeAndre Hunter didn't have to shoot it.
He didn't.
But I'm glad he did.
Yeah, went in.
I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did because it was a bucket.
Yeah, went in. He was 4 of 8 from downtown last night, 24 points. He's been playing good, man. Yeah, man. Like I mean, healthy is a big part of it. He's been able to stay on the floor and get some continuity.
He started last
night. He's been starting a little bit here and there with as banged up as the Hawks are. Again, I kind of love that role that they had found for him coming off the bench, but I understand you can't do that right now with everybody injured. But yeah, man, he played good. He was steady throughout the game. 24 points from him. Bogey with a solid performance. He's been a little bit inconsistent with some of the nagging injuries that he's dealing with, but he had 22 last night. I mean, DeJounte just ran the offense. Yeah. He did a great job with 15 assists. And they didn't give up. Like, they just kept scrapping because Boston had 44 points in the first quarter.
Yes.
And then they had 44 points in the second half.
Yes.
Like, that's crazy.
It was great.
That's how you lose a game.
That's how you lose a game. You shoot yourself out of it. And it's what Boston did. And they are one of those, like we said, they are a high volume. I think they might be the most, as far
they
as
have to be.
They have to be up there as
attempts
far as
attempts per game. If it's not them, it's Indiana.
Yeah, but I mean, they're up there as far as, you know, and you live by it. We talked about this all season about this team. And what makes them so good is when they're hitting that. I mean, but you got two all-star players. One who is an all-NBA player, first-team guy in Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown is right there, second, third-team all-NBA type guy. And then you got Porzingis.
Yeah, Boston shoots 43 threes a game.
Yeah, there we go.
That's the most in the NBA by three.
Yeah.
It's more than the Warriors and the Mavericks and the Kings. Yeah, they're all kind of right there.
That's what they do.
The Hawks are sixth in the league. They take a lot as well. Which is kind of the Quinn Snyder, one of the Quinn Snyder effects.
Yeah, but yeah, the Hawks, I mean, getting it down to 18 before halftime and then coming out and still having that momentum and everything like that, and Boston still, because they took their foot off the gas and the car crapped out and they couldn't get it back. I mean, they tried to and they kept it close. Obviously, you know, the Hawks were battling back the whole time and everything, and eventually finally took the lead and then it kept the lead. But yeah, I mean, they got to a point where when the offense wasn't flowing, they went to one-on-one ball. Now you got two excellent isolation players in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
They just didn't have any flow, man.
It was just off.
It was guys that had decided the game was won midway through the second quarter, expecting to go out there and make isolation game-winning plays in the fourth.
Yep.
It's hard to do that.
Yep.
When you put it on ice that early, it's hard to take that thing off ice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that they're making reservations for the night.
That's why
Monday.
What are we doing tonight?
Magic City's not far. We're in town till Thursday.
You can leave straight from the stadium.
You could walk if you wanted to.
If you wanted to.
I don't know what they did, but anyway, they're in town till Thursday. The Hawks have the Blazers on Wednesday. Our Blazers and all things Portland insider Brendan Nuckton hit me on Twitter and said it's not just been one game; it's two games in a row the Blazers have started all rookies.
Oh, really?
So
there it is.
Could happen again on Wednesday.
Well, I mean, they're in all the way tank mode. We know that.
Yeah.
You know, they lost a franchise player and everything, and they drafted another young player, and he's been inconsistent as a lot of young players are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vision. It's a team without, a team without any direction right now. Because you kind of know where you want to go, but they still don't have it.
Yeah, they're just in that really bad spot of tanking or being bad, whatever you want to put it, probably both, when there's not a good draft. Like, that's the hard part about tanking is you got to tank and also get lucky that guys are coming out available
exactly.
that are talented.
Yes.
I mean, that number one pick is the kid from Colorado. Shouldn't have tanked. You tanked at the wrong time, man. Like, you get the number one pick this year, you could take somebody else.
You can take somebody else.
But it's not a good draft, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I take the first guy.
I don't even know how to say his name.
I mean,
I learned how to say Wembanyama.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I guess we can learn how to say anything.
We can learn how to say it. But yeah, I mean, the Hawks, they're in that position where, well, as we keep saying, just take the good with the bad. And it'll be bad if they lose to this Pacers. This Blazers team.
Don't lose the Blazers.
It'll be bad. I think it'll be bad. It'll be bad.
Yeah.
Now, the Hawks ain't the best team and all that, but it'll
they're
be
better
bad.
Than the Blazers.
Especially coming off of a great win like they had last night. Get a day off, and now you got to go back and go against a very, very bad Portland.
All right, let's hear
very, very bad.
Shohei Ohtani's new translator, Will Ireton, talking about or translating for Ohtani and saying what this situation is.
Ippe never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry, and to the representatives in my camp, Ippe told to the media and to my representatives that I, on behalf of a friend, paid off debt. Upon further questioning, it was revealed that it was actually, in fact, Ippe who was in debt and told my representatives that I was paying off those debt. And all of this has been a complete lie.
Okay, so the translator said that he was paying off a debt for a friend. Is that what he's saying?
Okay, which, what do you mean, the translator?
The old one.
Okay, got it. Okay, got it.
The one that got fired.
Okay.
He was paying off a debt for a friend, and Shohei helped with that. And then they found out he was the
that
friend.
That was his initial lie.
Okay, that was his initial lie.
Yeah. And then it became obvious that he was the one that was actually in debt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so weird when you look at this situation from, like, the money aspect of it as far as the having access to Shohei's account. Mm-hmm. Because I keep asking myself, is it an account or is it accounts?
That's a great question.
Because as much money as Shohei has.
That's a really important distinction.
It's really important that you distinct between an account and accounts. Because Shohei has multiple accounts here in the U.S., right. Japan, if he's like everybody else, offshore, like came in somewhere in there, and there's.
You know he is. He took a $700 million deferred contract. You know he's got offshore accounts.
There's millions of dollars in multiple accounts that pay out certain amounts or whatever. And it's not. And this is his man's right here.
Yes. That's the number one question that if I was allowed to ask a question yesterday, I would have followed up with all this stuff.
Yes.
We got some questions answered.
Yeah.
We know what his position is.
Right.
He was very firm on what his position is. He's going to help with the investigation.
Right.
All this stuff. Shohei made it very clear where he stands on this.
Right.
Now, whether or not it turns out to be true and all that, we'll find out.
Right.
But how did this guy get access to that much money?
And that's another thing.
That's the question.
But the question is, that's his man's. You know what I mean? And hey.
Come on.
Dude. When you look at people, these guys that go to prison for all these years for stealing their clients' money, they steal the money. It's not about how they have access to it. They have access to it. This is man's right here. He could be one of them guys where he trusts with that.
But even still, okay, then that's the answer. Would at least be the answer. How does he have, like, without having to ask for approval?
Right.
How does he have, like, solo autonomous access to this much money.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. That's maybe, again,
I need to know
Shohei,
that.
That's Shohei's guy.
Okay.
And so maybe he's in a situation where he trusts this guy, and maybe he took it to a point where he's like, okay, because was it 4.5 all in lump sum, or was it 4.5
But even like when you have accounts like that, aren't there accountants who keep track of that? Like, Shohei's not solely responsible for that kind of stuff, is he?
Yep.
Like, okay, so Shohei is this all Shohei's money. He's got multiple accounts.
Mm-hmm.
People have access to it.
Yes.
But there's also other people that are sort of watching this stuff, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So something happened to give those people the idea that it's okay for Ipe to do whatever
he
wants.
That's what I'm saying. It could be a place, a bunk where he's like, okay, Shohei, I need this amount of money to do this with. Shohei's like, okay, fine, got it, put it in the account. This is how these people get over and steal their clients' money like that. Now, a lot of it, when they're doing that kind of stuff, is reinvest. Well, you're giving them money to invest, and they don't invest to take the money and do all those things. But this could be a case where that's his man's right there. Or he found a way to get into the account. Maybe he left his bank book somewhere.
Maybe.
And he got into it. I mean, there's certain ways where he can steal the money.
That would be more believable
if
it was, he actually accessed the account without my knowledge.
Yeah, because it ain't no Bank of America account or anything
that. Or
anything like that. It's an account where there's millions of dollars in
it. It's hard to get access to
it. It's hard to get access to these
things. You're not looking over my shoulder finding my four-digit PIN code.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Do you protect that, by the way, when the thing says protect your PIN code? Do you protect your PIN code?
Like put your hand over it?
Yeah, you like get all over it like that. Like the nerd in class
who
was protecting his test scores. I don't.
Oh.
Probably because you have actual money in there.
Yeah,
I'm like, look, if you want to know it, that's cool. You can have the $612 bucks that's in there. It's all yours.
That's the thing about it is it, and you know, maybe he will answer it. Obviously, the feds or whoever he's cooperating are going to ask him, how did he get the access to all this money? And so he's probably like, you know, maybe he has access to a certain account where he deals with all the other ancillary. Because one thing Shohei don't do, he don't book no flights, he don't book no dinners.
Right.
Maybe he does all, because that was his guy. Now, he brought him from the Angels to the Dodgers, even though the Dodgers had a guy.
The reason that's the question is because a lot of times with the answers that you're giving, the potential answers that you're giving, there's paper trails.
Yes.
Like there's proof
as
to whether or not he stole it or you gave it to him or you knew or you signed off on it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Other people knew. And that's why, I don't know, I think that it was a good position to take for him yesterday, from what he said publicly.
Yeah.
It's still, you know, there's a lot of unsatisfying questions that are out there right now that are regarding it. And look, I mean, maybe he just got hoodwinked and he's totally shocked, because that's what he said.
And it's happened. I mean, that's the thing he's not the first person. You can talk about in professional sports, you can talk about in the biz world that this has happened to. This has happened a lot where people steal other people's money all the time. But this is to a point where it's easy, the easiest access to it is when you're close to the button. And that was his right-hand man right there, who I'm sure had more access than anybody. Because, again, that's his translator. He lives in America. I'm sure he's always with them. So this guy found a way to get access to it. Maybe Shohei gave him carte blanche to certain accounts where, like I said, booking travel, maybe sending mom and him some money back, whatever. And he took advantage of it. That could be it.
They would have just bet on Jonte Porter. Then no one would have got in trouble.
What a dummy.
They just made the money.
What a dummy.
Because that's the thing. If he wins at gambling, none of this happens.
What a dummy.
The only reason he got caught is because he sucked at gambling.
What did he?
You know how bad? I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's just five big losses. Yeah. But you know how bad you have to suck to be $4.5 million in debt?
Dude.
Like, I lose 50 bucks, and I'm like, all right, I'm out for the year. That's all
one,
I can take.
But that's one of the things you look at. Well, he got it. Well, he didn't have it.
His he doesn't.
Got it. Yeah, he don't got it.
Shohei's got it. That guy doesn't.
Like, you got a problem if you bet $4.5 million and don't have the money to cover.
You make $100,000 a year, and you're $4.5 million in gambling debt, you have a problem.
You got a problem.
Flat out. There's an 800 number for that.
Dude.
We'll come back and talk to Mike Conte about what the Hawks did last night. We'll get some Atlanta United thoughts as well. Tough one. They didn't have their guys. Tough one over the weekend. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here Tuesday morning. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We're 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Randy had an interesting trade proposal in the first round that he had heard.
It wasn't my.
You heard.
But I heard it. But
you relayed it to me. And it was interesting.
I was like, man, that's very interesting.
It is pretty interesting. It is. We're going to talk about it in 20 minutes.
I like it.
I like, kind of like it too.
Yeah.
There's parts of it that I like. There's parts of it that I really like. We'll get to that in 20 minutes. Before we do that, let's get Mike Conte in here and talk about last night. Best win since when? Since game five last year.
Yeah, and it really reminded me a lot of game five last year. Just completely against all odds. Remember, DeJounte Murray did not play in that game. You're up in Boston. You know, the Celtics probably already looking ahead to round two, and you have that incredible second half, and you extend the series. That is probably what comes to mind first. I remember, I mean, there have been some regular season games I've done where the Hawks have had crazy comebacks. They had a game in Houston right before the Falcons Super Bowl where they were down by 22 with like 10 minutes to go, and Tim Hardaway Jr. went nuclear, and they won at Houston. That one really stands out to me, but 30 points. 30 points. I mean, that's just – the league has existed for 78 years, and that's happened less than 10 times in NBA history.
When you tweet that out, I was like, really?
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I can, which and is I why.
Love, I love, by the way, the effort by some to downplay it by saying, well, they were down by 30 in the first half.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. Oh.
Got it.
Really?
Yeah. Got it.
Oh. Okay. Well, I guess that's different.
Who are these people that are trying to make excuses for the Celtics?
I'll tell you off the air.
That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, what does it say about their I call it athletic character, their professionalism, to be able to go out there and continue to do that?
You know what it looked like to me, Randy, and you can probably speak to this as a former professional athlete. What I noticed was as the Hawks were climbing back into this, they'd get a stop. And then the next time they got into a defensive sequence, they'd get another stop, and the body language was starting to change a little bit. And I thought Steak made a good point on the Steakhouse. You saw something I haven't seen all year. You saw Tatum and Brown begging the referees for help because of the way that Wesley Matthews and Veet Krejci and these role players for the Hawks were just absolutely jamming up Tatum and Brown, and to an extent, Pritchard. But it looked like the Hawks were gaining confidence by the way they were playing defense, which was really, really cool to see. By far the best half of defense I've seen the Hawks play maybe in multiple years.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even think of the last. I mean, they gave up 44 points in the first quarter. Boston scored 44 points in the second half. An incredible defensive performance, and it just felt like, you know, to your point about athletic character, it was a on-the-fly confidence builder for a lot of players who haven't played much this year, and it was really, really fun to see.
Do you look at it as one really cool win against Boston on a Monday night at home, or is it indicative of a little bit more than that, possibly?
No, I look at it as the former.
Yeah, me too.
Now, let's see. Let's see. I mean, Portland has been a real matchup problem for the Hawks over the last couple of years.
Thank God Anthony Simons probably won't play.
Yeah.
Boy, does he just destroy the Hawks.
Man, oh, man, that guy owns the Hawks.
He does.
So let's see. I mean, if this spins into a situation where you win out on the homestand and then you go to Chicago, which now that game has implications maybe for hosting a play-in game, and maybe now you're hot, you beat Chicago, and then you look at the remainder of the schedule. There's some winnable games coming up on this Hawks schedule. Yeah, then maybe we could look at this as a turning point. I think we're a little too soon to get there. And one of the big reasons why is the Hawks are not going to be deploying this lineup much longer unless they have half their team out due to injury. I mean, Jalen Johnson's going to be back. Onyeka Okongwu's going to be back. Trae Young might be back. You know, I don't know if it would be relatively soon, but we're getting close to the end of that four-week window now for Trae. So I still look at this as an outlier because, and God love him, I mean, V. Krejci was awesome last night. The plan is not for him to be starting for the Hawks. The rotations are not planned to be the way they looked last night. So that's why I kind of still lean to the former. But it should not be downplayed. I mean, for everyone who wants to get on the Hawks about effort, and I think that's been fair sometimes this year, you have to give them credit when the effort was clearly there, and it was last night.
That's going to be my next question. If you heard anything about Trae, because it's about that time, that four-week eval about, you know, evaluation of the injury.
Yeah, I don't know anything, like, firmly on the record right now. He was obviously there last night. He was on the bench. I tried to notice what was on his left hand. It didn't look like it was like a cast or anything like that.
Still had something.
Something was there, but it looked less, what's the word?
Bulky?
Bulky, yeah, great word.
Yeah,
great word. Less
thank you.
Bulky. So maybe that's a sign. But again, like, I'm sure he's going to have to kind of slowly graduate to, all right, now he's out of his cast. Now he's out of his brace. Now he can dribble a little bit. Now he can carry the ball a little bit differently. And then the way that the Hawks typically progress a player through injury rehab, you play 2-on-2, then 3-on-3, then 4-on-4. I don't think they're going to rush Trae Young. Remember, there's no reason.
Right.
The Hawks are going to be in the play-in round. I mean, no one below the Hawks is doing anything that's going to keep them out of the play-in round. So right now, you're going to be 9th or 10th, probably 10th. There is absolutely no reason to rush Trae Young back for a regular season game because it's incredibly unlikely you're going to be able to go any higher than ninth right now.
We were talking about yesterday because I think we might have been on us that day after he got hurt. And I was like, I didn't think he would play anymore this year.
Yeah, and he might not.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't know where he is in his rehab right now. You do have to. It's tough, but you do have to really look at things realistically.
Yep.
The Hawks are going to have a very uphill climb just to get into the playoffs.
Right.
Even if they were to end up hosting the Chicago Bulls in a play-in game, the Bulls have owned that season series this year. The Hawks are one game back in the loss column, but they've already lost the season series tiebreak to Chicago. So you have to be – and then if you get by Chicago, then you're playing, what, Miami or Philadelphia – for a chance to go into the playoffs in a one game on the road, yeah, that's going to be tough. Oh, and then if you get through that,
you play Boston.
Yeah. So
which I have to imagine Boston would hate. You know what I mean? Like, they would probably beat them, but the Hawks have been such a thorn for those guys, taking
absolutely.
Them to 6 last year,
yeah.
beating them. Yes, they're just like that gnat that just flies around your head and you can't swat.
I'm going to be really curious to see Thursday's game. I don't want to look past tomorrow against Portland. But, I mean, what do you think the Celtics are? They have to be embarrassed.
They should be.
I mean, they should be embarrassed by that.
I would imagine they are.
And yeah, I know Derek White didn't play and Drew Holiday didn't play. And, boy, they needed Drew Holiday last night. I don't think there's much doubt about that. But you will see, I think Quinn Snyder alluded to this with Stink, you'll see a very fired-up Celtics team on Thursday. But, yeah, if I'm Boston, I wouldn't want to play Atlanta in the first round. If I'm Boston, I don't think I'd want to play Chicago either. I mean, the four teams that are in the play-in right now pose unique challenges.
They take flesh.
Yeah, man.
The last team you want to see is the Heat. Can you imagine?
I mean, the way they beat them in the conference championship last year. The way that the Heat play defense, again, I'll go back to something we talked about a lot last night. If the Celtics get cold from the three-point line, they are in trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you saw it last night. They made only five of their last 35 attempts from three.
Yep.
So they start 6-for-8, and they're up by 30. They go 5 for their last 35, and they blow a 30-point lead. The Heat, the way they play defense, especially out at the three-point line, that is not a good matchup for the Celtics.
Yeah, and that we talk about sort of like the some of the hot takes about the Celtics, if they don't win a championship and all that. Like, I think they could not win the championship if they make the final and lose to Denver. Like, that's not like you don't
it's
have
a different
to blow
conversation.
It up. But if they lose to the Heat in the first round,
that's
when it's blow up time. Yeah.
Who waited about 15 possessions too long to call timeouts. Yes. And then for some reason brought Jaden Springer off the bench cold, who had not played all night to play in the fourth quarter. Just, I don't know. I have wanted to give Joe Mazzulla the benefit of the doubt, but now I'm starting to see why he is second-guessed so much up in Boston.
Mike, was it just nobody's up in Toronto? We understand that and everything. Like, nothing to worry about, though?
It's hard when you're without Almada, right. And then when you're without Almada's backup, that's really hard. Right. So, no, I don't want to make excuses, but no, very little Atlanta United could have done with being so shorthanded and then the conditions on top of it. Want to see them play well against Chicago, though.
Right.
And that should be a good game. Chicago kind of in the same spot on the table as Atlanta right
now. Will they have most people back on Sunday?
I think they're going to get everyone back, obviously, except Gregerson. He's dealing with the meniscus.
We know how long that's going to be?
He's Norwegian.
At least 3 weeks.
He'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah, but that could have been way worse. Yes. I mean, anytime you're dealing with a knee ligament, that scares you.
It's one thing about Norwegians, Randy.
Tough knees.
We recover quickly.
Tough knees.
Especially in the knee region.
Tough knees.
Hardy souls.
Hardy knees.
Hardy knees.
Thank you, Mike.
Just learned something about Norwegian.
Appreciate it, Mike.
We're going to come back. We're going to do an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio. Oh, yeah, that's right. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Now we're going to go to break, and we'll come back and do an NFL No Huddle. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.